You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Wakefield Crowbar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees live, Wakefield Crowbar, 954 Wakefield Drive. I'm about a sixth of my way through the wings, and they are fantastic. Happy hour, 11A to 6P. That $9 Pick 2 Express lunch every Monday through Friday, 11A, 2P. You have an hour to take advantage of that. 954 Wakefield Drive. You're looking for a spot to watch the Astros game tonight? This is it. Dollar Jello shots every Astro playoff game. $22 Crawford Bach buckets. Also a fabulous spot to watch your fights. UFC 280. Got an early start on Saturday. 1 o'clock main card kicks off. They don't have cover here at Wakefield Crowbar. This is the spot to watch it. Of course, the Astros start 4 o'clock that day. Also a great spot to watch the Houston Astros. All right, Blankers. Yep. Astros up 1-0 in the ALCS. What gives you the most confidence with this team so far during this playoff? Is it Jeremy Peña at shortstop? Is it the pitching, the starters, the bullpen, the unsung heroes, Dusty, Yuli? What is it for you? What gives you the most confidence so far from this team in this playoff run?
I think it's the demeanor. I think it's the demeanor of the entire squad. Been there, done that. We're going to do it again. Like, I don't think any moment after the Seattle series, I don't think any moment was too big for them. I think a lot of teams, as much as they say they're cool under pressure, you see their true colors when you go 18 innings and you're at the other team's home park and any mistake, any run given up and the game's over. Or down to your final outs and your big bopper goes and changes the entire complexion of the series with one swing of the bat. Then he does it again in game two against your best pitcher. It just seems like there's never a situation where they feel like they're out of it. There's never a situation where they feel like they can't handle it. The bullpen just kind of mowing down everybody through the second nine innings in Seattle, was including Luis Garcia as being the guy that gets the most attention for it. But they're all doing their jobs, and they're all acting like this isn't too big of a deal for them, no matter if it's the playoffs, no matter how many people are watching. And that's what I love the most. I guess I don't want that to be a cop-out answer, but I think that that's the intangible that comes to mind first and foremost, because everybody's doing their jobs across the board for the most part. And you can say Altuve, and then I'll remind you of the defensive plays that he made, including one hell of a tough play off the bag last night.
Yeah.
But those two plays in the Seattle series, too. So
For a bounce off the bag, that took about as good a bounce as
no
you could have.
No doubt.
Now, it's still not an easy play, but it could have been a far worse bounce than
no
it was.
No question about it.
That was a pretty fortuitous bounce, that, you know, the fact that it hit the base. It was unlucky it hit the base. It's lucky the way that it bounced off the base. I like that answer, and it's not one that I really thought of, because the Astros have had adversity. I know that they're 4-0 in the playoffs, but they've had adversity throughout.
Yep.
They were down the entire game in game one until the final out when Yordan Alvarez hit a 3-run walk-off home run with the final out. I mean, they were down to their 27th out. The second game, you're down to Luis Castillo with a chance for Seattle to split. Game three took 18 innings for you to score a run and eventually win. Even yesterday, with Verlander and Taillon on the mound, you were trailing by a run. So, and you had the Yankees, who I thought put up like a good fight. They brought the go-ahead run up to the plate in the eighth inning off your closer, so there were some nervous moments. There was some sweat going on late in the game. So this Astro team has faced adversity. You expect that to be what the playoffs are about, but the Astros have always answered that bell so far. They have not crumbled under any sort of that adversity.
Well, they're the only team, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're the only team left in the playoffs hasn't lost a game yet. I mean, the fact that they find a way and they've found a way every single time so far is kind of what I'm talking about, too. It's an intangible that not every team has, that a lot of times you just fold up your tents and go home and live to play another day and say it's not going to be our day today. And I think the Padres showed you a little of that last night, because you got guys that are experienced, too, like Soto and Machado and guys like that, that even being down early wasn't enough for them to fold up their tents and say we're going back to Philly 0-2 in a big hole. We're going to fight our way out of it. And they beat one of the better pitchers in baseball by doing so. That's what it takes to win a World Series. Those are the intangibles, no matter how good your lineup is or your pitching staff or your bullpen. That's an intangible not a lot of teams have and can consistently go back to. The Astros have proven they can do that.
What gives you the most confidence so far this postseason? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Corey says, my confidence comes from the fact that they are getting production from the whole lineup minus Altuve. I still feel like his time is coming, though. Look, Altuve, like, you want to play law of averages, his time should be coming. He's one of the best offensive players in the last decade in Major League Baseball. So, yeah, I think his time is coming as well.
Second baseman in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that, even still. And he's one of your best offensive players. Well, so your second best offensive player this year behind Yordan Alvarez. So I would argue his time is coming too. But to Corey's point, you are getting that production. You're getting production all of a sudden from Yuli Gurriel, who didn't give you much production in the regular season. Chaz McCormick, there was a period of time in July that the manager of this team didn't think that guy was a center fielder.
According to people on Twitter, there was a report that he didn't really like him all that much. So I don't know if that meant as a player, as a person, whatever, but that's not a good sign for a manager when you're trying to see if this guy can play center field for you.
Yeah. So the fact that you're getting production from that is something to be very happy about. And the same thing with Pena. I mean, Pena's second half of the season after the All-Star break, there was 2 months where it was an automatic out. Like, he was worth than Martin Maldonado for a couple of months there. So, yeah, you're getting a lot of production from the entire lineup, 1 through 9, well, 2 through 9, for the Houston Astros.
Do you have any reservations about Altuve figuring it out?
You can't sleep on the fact that he's 0 for Tuve and he's 0 for the postseason. I mean, that's a fact.
Well, I'll tell you this. The at-bats last night gave me – because the first at-bat bothered me because he swung at the first pitch again, or the second pitch.
You talking about the first inning?
Yeah.
I think it was first.
Was it first? Or
I think it was first.
The first or the second
he
pitch.
He hit it all right.
But the at-bats, working a walk,
yeah,
not flailing at breaking pitches, crossing across the plate, and really looking bad doing that. I think he'll settle in, and I really do think that when they get to New York, that extra –
hopefully it's tonight.
That extra of the fans getting on him and stuff like that will have him even focus even more. But I hope he breaks out tonight.
His last two or three plate appearances against Seattle were – I mean, they still weren't good, but they were better. I felt the same way yesterday. Even though he took that called strike three, I think it was in his final at bat. That was a little bit of a step back after taking
maybe a step forward. Down Main Street too,
yeah, that was not a great look for Altuve. For me, when I asked that question, 713-780-ESPN, what gives you the most confidence so far from this postseason? I like your answer, but for me, it's the entire pitching staff. It's what you've rode the entire year. You're the best pitching staff in the American League. You have a starting rotation that you can rely on. Like, Justin Verlander was the biggest question mark, right, entering the series, and then yesterday against the best offense in the American League, he gives up one run, three hits over six innings, and punches out 11. Framber Valdez, for a period of time this season, was the most consistent pitcher in all of Major League Baseball. Lance McCullers has looked just as good this year as he did last year when he was the ace of your playoff rotation. And then you have Christian Javier, who, if you look at his numbers compared to some of the leaders amongst Major League Baseball, stacks up with dudes like Gerrit Cole for strikeouts per nine, has a better ERA than Framber Valdez, who you used him once out of the bullpen in game one because you thought he might start game four of the ALDS and will probably start game four of the ALCS. The bullpen, the best numbers all. You think he's going to start game three?
I still think Javier is going to start game three.
Okay, well, we'll see, but the conversation doesn't change.
It'll
be interesting. We don't know. I mean, it will be interesting to see what Dusty Baker decides to do for that game three, but it speaks to the depth of this rotation. I mean, Javier McCullers in games three and game four, and then you look back at, like, the bullpen has been fantastic in the playoffs, and then you look at the 18-inning game where Luis Garcia pitches a quality finish to end the game where he's outstanding. So for me, what gives me the most confidence is the pitching staff, and I feel like the pitching staff is always going to keep the Astros in a game.
It really is. And I go back to what Chaz said post-game yesterday, which is so true. It's complimentary baseball. The fact that this team feeds off of, whether it is that pitching staff mowing down, that the offense can understand that they got the offense is back when on days when the offense just can't figure it all out, get a pitcher figured out, get runs and crooked numbers on the board quickly and early to set the tone. They know that they're backed up by a pitching staff that's not going to leave them high and dry, and they're going to keep them in a ball game. And whether it's Fromber's streak and all the starters and the way they're able to get six-plus innings of quality baseball, or the fact that the bullpen has been lights out, it's a great thing to have. And I don't think enough Astros fans really appreciate what they have with this team that so many markets, so many teams, so many cities are just so thirsty for and never get this complete of an opportunity over this amount of time. The fact that this six-year span, very rarely can you sit there and point to a weakness, a big glaring weakness with the way these Astro teams have been constructed. This might not be the best because 19's roster probably will fight with anybody in terms of the best roster for one season in Astros baseball. It might be the most complete.
Yeah.
The bullpen did their job. The offense did their job. Starting pitching did their job. Dusty's doing his job. Look, this might be the most complete, whether it's the best roster and assembly of talent that we've seen in this run.
Yeah, I don't. And it's not to say that they're unbeatable. Like,
no,
every
I'm not
team's
saying
unbeatable,
they can't be
but
beat.
I'm there with you. Like, this is not the best offense they've ever had. It's not as strong top end pitching they've ever had. It's hard to beat Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole in 2018 and 2019. But those years, you had some weaknesses in terms of like who was the back end of the rotation, what you were looking at in the bullpen. This team really doesn't have that. If there's like one weakness on this team, like maybe it's your DH, because right now you have no idea who your DH is, but, and that wouldn't have been an issue if Brantley didn't get hurt.
Right, and also think about where we came from. It used to be offense from your catcher, and what are you doing in center field, and you know is Yuli going to hit again? And all these questions abound, and now we're talking about if you can find a different bat to hit in the DH spot, but everything else seems to be clicking just fine.
Speaking of that, Brother Bear is asking us, am I wrong for being okay if Papa goes with Mancini at DH and then over-under Trey gets one hit and D-Hop scores one touchdown? I didn't even know that the Cardinals played football tonight, if I'm being completely honest.
Oh, that's right,
with you.
Saints.
I didn't know that that was the Thursday night matchup. I've been oblivious to Thursday night
games. It's all about
games.
Baseball, Bear. You and I both said this prior to the show starting. We both expect Mancini to be the DH today, and I would hope that he said he's figured some things out. I hope he gets a hit, gets some confidence, because if that is the true weakness right now on this team is designated hitter, we kept saying someone's got to step up and just grab the position
yep.
by the horns and
no
say,
one has.
I'll be there, and no one has to this point.
Yeah, I would go Mancini at the DH spot today if he doesn't. Whatever. 9-7-2-3, the bottom four guys in the order getting on base and driving in runs gives me confidence. It's not the same regular season feeling of great. Here comes Yuli, Maldi, and Pena for three quick outs. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees hanging out at Wakefield Crowbar. Would love to see you out here as well. 954 Wakefield Drive. If you can't make it until you leave work a little bit later, well, the Wheelhouse will be here until 7. And, of course, the Astro game starting at 6:37. This is a great spot to be watching the game with the 24-foot giant TV outside, wall-to-wall TVs inside as well. 713-780-ESPN. I got to be honest with you. Dusty's changing my mind, and I would even be willing to go as far as saying I'm okay if Dusty Baker is the manager of the Astros in 2023.
Whoa.
It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Wakefield Crowbar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Now the 0-2 pitch to Gurriel, and this one is hit well, deep left field, and into the Crawford boxes for a home run. And the Astros take a 2-1 lead.
Yuli Gurriel, boy, he's just got that clutch gene. Yuli Gurriel, 1-for-4 in the game yesterday, hit his second home run of the postseason. He had one in the DS. Now he gets one in Game 1 of the CS as well. Look, we were critical of Yuli Gurriel throughout the entire regular season. And, look, people are texting us. People tweet us whenever Yuli does well. A lot of bad takes with Yuli. No, we were telling you the truth about Yuli. He was having a bad regular season. There's no arguing that. Yuli Gurriel's numbers in the regular season for an everyday first baseman were not good. Now, Dusty rode with him. Dusty showed him confidence that, hey, I'm not taking you out of the lineup, even if we're trading for Trey Mancini and what many people thought would be an upgrade at first base and the reason why they were trading for Trey Mancini. Dusty rode with Yuli, and Yuli's showing you that, hey, he might not have the regular season, but he's been saving it up for the postseason for the Houston Astros.
I really, truly believe the way a baseball player thinks, he got a fresh start and a clean slate when the playoffs started. Because I really believe he was pressing and that it was in his mind every single day. I won the batting title a year ago. I'm not supposed to be hitting like this. I'm not supposed to be not hitting like this. I'm not supposed to be going through highs and lows and slumps and more downs than ups coming off of a gold glove, a batting title, and probably the best career year of my career. So I think that when he got that fresh start with the playoffs starting, it kind of allowed him to breathe, to relax, to kind of just be the hitter that he is. Because that ball last night, on first glance, looked like it only got a couple rows deep in the Crawford boxes. That thing was a laser. It was hit on a clothesline, and it was carrying. And that's The biggest thing to me is even when he makes outs, he's barreling them up. He's making good contact. So you know that he is dialed in at the plate at the best time and the most appropriate time, the most needed time of the year, especially with Altuve scuffling. So when you look at all the different things that this team has been through, were we right when we said it? We call it like we see it. And for a long period of time, what we saw was a guy that won the batting title that was struggling mightily offensively. We gave him his flowers, said he's still the best, you know, first baseman in the league in terms of digging out bad throws and playing defensive first base. But even that had slid. His digs were great, but his overall defense wasn't what it was a year ago either. So he was having a down year. He found it. He figured it out. Dusty did stick with him. There's no doubt about that. Dusty does deserve all the compliments in the world for that because not many people, including us, were thinking that was a smart and wise move to do.
Yeah.
And it's worked out, and it's made both guys look very, very
and
good.
And maybe that's where the bad take comes into play, which we can own that. And look, I wanted to be wrong. I wanted Yuli Gurriel to have this postseason. I'm happy that people were tweeting me saying, oh, you guys were wrong about Yuli not playing well in the postseason. Great. I want Yuli
we
to have success.
We never said the postseason. We were calling what we saw in the regular season.
9458. We'll get to Dusty in just a moment. 9458. Would y'all bring back Yuli next year for a cheap price the way he has been playing? I thought long and hard about this because he's 38 years old. He didn't have a very good regular season. We all know that. It doesn't seem like he's long for Major League Baseball. I'm okay with Yuli Gurriel being on this team, but I don't want him to be the primary everyday first baseman. Like, if I'm going into the offseason, I need to have a dude opening day that I expect to be everyday first baseman who is going to hit better than what we saw from Yuli Gurriel all season. But I'm all right if Yuli Gurriel is fine taking a corner infield spot on this team where he's off the bench. He's going to start a decent amount of times, maybe a DH him a few times here and there too, and he's that insurance. So, like, I'm okay with Yuli in that role. I'm not sure I'm okay with him as the starter going forward after this year.
I don't want to close the door on him playing first base next year, depending on the clubhouse psyche and how this team finishes this year. And if he stays this hot, it's kind of like the Dusty Baker conversation, where if he stays this hot and he finishes the playoffs like this and he rides this whole thing out, kind of hard to just walk away from him if he leads you to another title. I think more so than anything else, it's going to make you have – a lot of consideration to a lot of options. I'm okay if he's not he's platooning with someone at first base, yeah. But I believe that you can have him on this roster. You can have him do a lot of the things you said, but I still put a lot of value in not only the clubhouse, but his defensive ability and what he does. Look, Jeremy Peña, for a lot of the defensive plays he's made this year, he's needed someone on the other end to be able to bail out a throw that wasn't right on line.
Altuve, too.
And Altuve, because his arm, whatever he's got going on with that, that's been completely off the rails in the last year or so. So you look at all those things and say, I believe Yuli has value to this team now for next year. I think he could have more by the time they finish this year. But I think that there's plenty of scenarios where I want him back on this team.
Yeah, I love that Yuli's doing this, even though we you know, pointed out that he wasn't having a great regular season. But this is one of, like, a bunch of different reasons of why, like, Dusty's changing my mind. Like, I would be totally fine, and this is – people are going to, like, drive off the road hearing me say this. If Dusty Baker is the manager in 2023 for the Houston Astros, I'm totally okay with it. Like, I think we can look back now. Like, whenever we're sitting there saying, you know, July, resting hot hands and silly things like that, Astros won this division by double digits, and Dusty Baker knew that. I think Dusty Baker knew that his team was going to run away with this division and you know, potentially be the top team in the American League. That wasn't locked in stone the entire season long. But some of the things along the way that, like, Dusty has won me over with, one of them, Yuli Gurriel, because, like, if I'm the one managing this team, Yuli Gurriel would not have been my first baseman going forward. And look what the type of postseason that Yuli's having because Dusty was able to ride with him, given the confidence. I think Jeremy Peña is a great example of, like, a little bit of Dusty dust sprinkled on to him offensively. We were talking about it earlier in the show. Peña had a stretch for, like, a month or two after the All-Star break where he was atrocious offensively. And what does Dusty do? The unthinkable. Like, analytical people would never do this. That you have a dude who never gets on base, that's struggling, that's reeling, he's going to bat second. And it changed Jeremy Peña's season around to where now Jeremy Peña has confidence in the postseason. I think you can throw Chaz McCormick in this conversation as well, where Dusty was stubborn with Chaz. He didn't want to use him in center field. Like, Dubon was starting like 10 times in center field for every Chaz McCormick, one time in center field. There was some stubbornness there, but here you have in significant games when they're meaningful, and the only games that really mattered, the 162 didn't, where Dusty's listening to the analytical department saying, yeah, we're going to go with Chaz McCormick. McCormick in center field every single game over Mauricio Dubon. So, like, all of the concerns that we had in the summer, all the concerns we had about this regular season team, Dusty's making all the right decisions in the playoffs.
Oh, he is, and we've said that. I think the bigger thing is this is the equivalent of load management in the NBA. This is where a team that, whether the Lance McCullers situation a year ago was the last straw or was just something that kind of lended itself to the rest of the data they were collecting that was gathered that said, you can run a team out of juice by the time it gets to the playoffs, and yeah, no matter how good you are on paper, you can come up short of your goals if you're not careful. And they were hyper careful. They were they had the ability that not a lot of teams do because they had a very weak division to deal with. And they didn't know who was going to come in second. They didn't know the A's were going to completely have a yard sale and get rid of anybody that had talent after the A's had been pesky to them in the last couple of years. And though Seattle got off to a slow start and Seattle was rumored to be that team, they never were really that close, though they had two World Series against, and now three in the playoffs, World Series against Houston that meant a lot more to them than it did to the Astros. The thing is, I still will question a lot of the ways that Dusty got the load management.
Sure.
The guys that he rested and when he rested them will be something that I will die on that hill saying there's a time and a place, and I don't believe he picked the right time and place.
But what's the significance there, though? Like, that's what the pushback that I would have. Like, the pushback is that you lose a game in August when you win the division by double digits?
Sure, you could say that now, but I think that when you look at it over the course of a season, we didn't know that they were going to run away with it.
You didn't think that in July?
I think when the Mariners made that final push, they weren't playing great baseball either. I thought, you know what? You don't want to get this too close. Though I always felt like as long as it was double digits, it slipped under double digits, and I was like, okay, let's make sure that they do it. You know, maybe they ramp up a little bit more on playing everybody and a little less on load management. But I get why they did what they did. I don't agree with the timing of some of the guys that he sat down when they were hot. And some of the guys, like when they came out of the lineup, you just put a guy in that spot in the lineup instead of shifting the lineup accordingly to put better hitters above them. But overall, the load management thing, I think, is going to probably have more life than it has just from the Astros across baseball if it proves to be this successful. It's the same thing happened in the NBA.
See, I think you're right when you look at it from a one-game perspective, because just like inserting Ledesma Diaz to be your leadoff man when he's filling in at second base isn't the most optimal thing to do to win said game. Sitting Yordan Alvarez when he's homered in three straight games isn't the best thing to do to win said game. But I think that Dusty Baker looks at the 162, where, hey, if I lose a game on August 4th because I'm giving Yordan an off day whenever he's hot, so what, and I want to make sure that he's fresh in October. And all of the things that we were critical about, with like the off days, like that's fair criticism because you're looking at the one, not the 162. But, like, is he going to play Dubon in center field in the playoffs? Answer to that question is no. What's Yuli Gurriel going to look like in the playoffs? The answer's been really good. Jeremy Pena, are you going to be able to recover what was a promising start to his rookie season? We didn't know, yet here he is. So you got to credit Dusty Baker for a lot of what's going on with the success so far through four games. 713-780-ESPN, and a couple of other things that I think that Dusty's having some dynamic Dusty decisions. 713-780-ESPN. I want to hear from the because, look, I am that guy. I've been a Dusty critic since he was hired. I didn't like the Dusty hire, but he's changing my mind. I'm fine if he is the manager going forward. Were you out on Dusty, and is he changing your mind? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, we're in the middle of hurricane season, though it doesn't feel like it now. There's going to be rain next week. There's been rain. When the rain comes, it comes in bunches. Sometimes you get an inch or two of rain in a short period of time, and your house, your roof, it's not ready for it. And you can find out right now if your house is prepared, or your business, or your commercial establishment, and it will cost you absolutely nothing. But it'll give you the peace of mind knowing that the next storm that hits, you should be okay if you go to Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing will do a free, no-obligation inspection where they come to you and tell you exactly what they would do and what your roof looks like. And most companies would charge you $75 to $100 just to show up on your doorstep. All you got to do is call 832-521-3001 and set up an appointment. They come to you, no obligations, no uncomfortable discussions. They're just going to see what's going on. You tell them you want to check out your roof, check out a leak, check out what you got going on. They'll analyze the entire situation, tell you how they would handle it, and then go back with the rest of their day. You want them to actually do the work, just pick up the phone, make the appointment, and realize before, during, and after the sale, nobody's going to take care of you better, and nobody has better customer service. They have the best ratings in the business, the best warranties in the business, use the best products in the business like CertainTeed Shingles, and their only sole focus is to make sure you, the people of Houston that are going to tell others about them, are happy and satisfied with the job that they do. You can see all the services that they offer, including home repairs, fences for your yard, and all the ways they can help your roof, just by going to FITZroofing.com. But if you want that free no-obligation inspection, call them 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference, one home at a time.
Live from Wakefield Crowbar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Dusty has he's flipped me. If Dusty Baker's the manager for the Astros in 2023, I'm okay with that. And I know that's a complete 180 from July, from August. Killer Bees, Wakefield Crowbar, 954 Wakefield Drive. Come on, hang out with us till 3, Wheelhouse till 7. Spot to be if you want to watch some UFC on Saturday, UFC 280, main card at 1. No cover charge ever for UFC. No cover charge ever for boxing cards and pay-per-views.
Does UFC like the pro golf tournaments when they go like at a certain period of time where they're like in a certain area? Are they like out of the country or something where they're day matches?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're. I don't know. It's probably Abu Dhabi. It's probably where I'm guessing that they do a lot of cards down there. I think that's where they're at this Saturday.
Get Timmy
from
Twitter.
Great
jump
card
all
by
over
the way,
because I didn't know.
Really good card by the way Saturday. I'm going to try to figure out a way to watch that.
You have to watch
on the way
a certain
to
football team.
Yeah, but I think that the timing of it could work out because we play the early game at 11. I think I could be done by the pay-per-view.
You have to watch
by
a certain baseball team, too, but that's at night, right?
It's at night. I'll be watching that on the plane, which I will not be doing the show tomorrow, unfortunately. I know this is heartbreaking news to this entire city that I will not be on the airwaves after Game 2 of the ALCS, but I'm going to be flying to Annapolis. Look, I'm okay with Dusty being the manager in 2023. I'm not sure that you're willing to go that far. Would you be okay if Dusty's the manager next year?
You know, I'd be okay with it. I would. I think that there are a lot of variables that are going to fly into this because James Click's situation is going to play a big role in this as much as where this team finishes at the end of the year. Because whoever the general manager is not going to have the same open-mindedness, I don't believe, in terms of who the manager is, as they did when they understood the ramifications and situation they were dealing with when Dusty took over this team. And Dusty was, in retrospect, was absolutely the right guy for this team at that time. And no one could have expected, with their right wits about them, that this team would have done what they've done over the time that Dusty has been at the helm. Now, he has his quirks. He has his old school mentality. We all know that. We've all dissected that. But I think that whoever it is the GM, if Click comes back or they get somebody else, that GM's going to come in and say, you can't be critical of me and expect me to do a job my way if I don't have my guys where I need to have them. And a lot of guys, especially analytical guys, need that kind of analytical mind in the dugout.
See, a lot of times, especially with the new modern day, a general manager wants a manager in the dugout that's an extension of the front office. Like, they're part of the front office. They're involved in the whole, meetings and what goes on, sabermetric, all of that. So I actually, if the best, case scenario for, if you're trying to carve out a path for Dusty Baker to be the manager of the Astros in 2023, I actually think if it's James Click, if James Click is back. Because if they go get Sig Meidel, who's been rumored that Crane really loves, Sig Meidel's not, I don't think, going to go to Houston and be like, yeah, but I'm also going to take the manager that's already there. I think that he would want to hire his own guy, whereas Click, and I know that Click and Dusty haven't always seen eye to eye, but Click right now in the playoffs, he's getting everything that he wanted. He's getting Chaz in center field. He can't really spin that Mancini should be in the lineup every day. And Christian Vasquez, he's probably a better hitter than Martin Maldonado, but he's not hitting better in the playoffs than Martin Maldonado right now.
I think that it's going to come down to, you're right, Meidel, if he gets the job, is going to want his own manager. And he has no previous connection or deep-rooted success with Dusty Baker to say that I'm going to take, and he's going to be wanted and be a hot enough commodity on the market that he'll have other suitors to where he'll find a team where he can pick his own manager, and he knows that's the best case scenario for him to have success and be graded fairly. When it comes to Click, I'm not going to say he's powerless, no matter how good this team is, but we know because the discussions have been out there and he didn't get the extension before the season was over that he's going to be searching to see if he has other options. And so he might not. And even if he does, those options might not be as great as the situation that clearly he has in his back pocket that has been fantastic for the not just his market in this organization, but for all of baseball to see what a quality organization this has been, and he's part of that. So I think that Jim Crane could possibly say to him, hey, look, you know, of the two guys, if it's a power struggle, Dusty has more clout because Dusty didn't push back with me like this, and Dusty's done everything I've asked him to do. And so if Click comes back, I think that's the best-case scenario to have Dusty back as well. And Dusty's already stated that he wants, unless he changes his mind. But I think that whoever has that general manager's job is going to go a long way to deciding who's going to manage this team.
Yeah, and I think if it's anybody but Click, it's probably not Dusty. That's kind of my feel of it. 713-780-ESPN.
It could be like another short 1 year with an option deal where the GM, if it's a new GM, going, hey, look, eventually, they'll tell exactly what they told Click. Eventually, you'll be able to pick your guy. But for at least a year or two, roll with our guy. He just won the World Series, or he just took this team wherever he took him.
I think that that's plausible. I don't think that's the best way that Dusty would still be the manager, though.
At his age, I don't think as much as long-term would be even more guarantees. I think he's fine financially. I think he doesn't know from year to year how much longer he wants to go through the grind. So I think that he would be more okay with it. I mean, he loved it. He said the main reason he came back was he could get that check for a few more years.
And he said too that he doesn't want to ride off in the sunset. He said if he wins a championship, he wants to win two. So I mean, he's kind of dismissed the notion that he would ride off into the sunset if he wins one. He still very much wants to be a manager of this team. 6805. I don't know how you could look at Dusty's manager experience with the Astros and not want him back. Yeah, he doesn't follow the analytics all the time. I would point that he is following him now in the playoffs. But he knows how to manage people and look what they've done. His track record speaks for himself. He goes to two separate World Series in 3 years. How do you not bring that manager back? To me, that's the best trade that Dusty Baker does. I think Dusty Baker in the dugout isn't as good as Dusty Baker in the clubhouse. Dusty Baker in the clubhouse is where he earns his paycheck. We just talked about a lot of it. Yuli, Jeremy Pena. How about Martin Maldonado? Like riding Martin Stuck Maldonado when nobody wanted to ride Martin
Even
Maldonado.
Even when you got a big-time bat as a catcher in Vasquez.
And he has the RBI double yesterday to tie the game up. And, you know, how much he handles a pitching staff is always a bit of a mystery. There's no way to really quantify that. I think it matters a good amount. And how about yesterday using Presley? Like, that's not something the Astros and Dusty have been willing to do very much.
Once a year, once in the
entire
season.
He did it once the entire 162, and then yesterday when Montero was scuffling and you know, he had the first two hitters was fantastic, was great, and then he couldn't get anybody out. He goes to Presley for four outs when Presley up-down, like you already sometimes, Ryan Stressley, even without the stress of being up-down, he faces four hitters and strikes out three. I mean, you have to give credit for Dusty making that move.
No, he's pushed all the right buttons in the playoffs. You know, he's proved his mettle again in terms of what he means to this clubhouse. You saw the big bear hugs with Justin Verlander and the communication throughout the game as well. That's something that Verlander doesn't do with a lot of people, as we know. He doesn't even like the pitching coach coming out making visits most times. So you've seen a lot of that as well that has kind of sat in a very good position with his clubhouse, with his team, with each guy in each locker. And that means something. And so I'm with you. I think that some of the guys that he stuck with that we weren't so sure about, including Maldonado and Yuli, but even the way he got through center field, though he had other thoughts than what James Click did twice since James Click has been there and Dusty's been there, I think they've been able to work through the majority of it, and a lot's going to weigh into how far this team goes. If this team goes to another World Series and or if they win it all, it's going to factor in because Jim Crane's not going to want to make a change. Jim Crane, the same way he's buddies with JV, he's pretty friendly. The other thing that I'm a little less than I was before on is Joe Espada. I didn't want to lose Joe Espada.
Yeah, see, somebody on the text line said, look, I'm okay if Dusty leaves because I want to keep Joe Espada.
Which is something that I've been adamant about, too, and because he's an analytical guy, and because he's the kind of guy Click would like to have managing this team, and he's still – the entire team knows him, so it wouldn't be starting from scratch and having personality conflicts. But, you know, you've won me over with some of the things you've said. Other people I've heard from have also said, look, not that he's a dime a dozen, but analytical managers can be found. And so, you know, maybe more should be made of the way that Dusty's able to keep and build and communicate relationship in his locker room that analytical guys sometimes can't do.
And Espada getting his second interview with Miami, too. Looks like he's a finalist for that job. I'm a Joe Espada guy. Like, I like Joe Espada. I'm not going to derail that managerial position because of Joe Espada. Like, he's not – one, it's baseball, right? Like, what? How much strategy is involved in baseball relative to the NFL? Like, where a true X and O strategic mind is going to influence and change outcomes of the game. Same thing with basketball. Baseball, not as much. Now, the best manager and the worst manager, there's a difference there, but it's not as wide of a gap. So I'm not going to totally destruct everything to keep Joe Espada around. If Joe Espada is the manager next year, fantastic. If Joe Espada leaves the Astros to go be the manager of Miami, thank you, Joe, for all the service you've done to Houston. We really wish you well in Miami. But I'm not dying on the hill for Joe Espada.
Was it just Miami? Because I thought there was at least one other team that was interested.
I saw
in
Miami,
to him.
Probably, but no. He's had a second interview with
the
Miami.
The second
today.
Is with Miami, but I think there was another team that already either inquired or had interviewed.
Well, the
him.
Angels were talking about Espada's name was mentioned in the Angel conversation in July. Whenever they fired Joe Maddon, he was.
There was rumors
in the Angel
that the Rangers were going to look at him too. Yeah. So I don't think he's going to have any shortage of suitors that are going to be interested in him. And at a certain point, you just have to weigh all your options. And again, if you go on this deep run and this team stays together and plays together the way they have been, then you have to think long and hard. But I really believe general manager will factor in as well.
Yep.
But the fact that this team, if it goes on another run and it wins another World Series, as much as I fought it back then, I'm not going to fight it quite as much with the way he's managed this team in the playoffs and say, if it's a short-term deal, I could see him coming back.
Which of the two do you think Click would be willing to move on from? Even if they win the World Series, however the season finishes,
Click
would it
or
be
Crane?
GM? Crane. Which of the two positions, GM or manager, would he be willing to part ways with, regardless of the rest of the way?
Crane. I'm sorry, Click.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think he puts Dusty in higher regard, and he was hired first. I think that does
Plus,
matter.
Plus, you know, Jim Crane likes to talk to his players. His players really don't even hardly probably know that much about James Click, but they know how Dusty's treated him on a daily basis, and they love him.
Yeah, I mean, I like what Click has done. I think that the fact that this team is as balanced as it is, you don't have holes on this team. He made the Pena decision over Carlos Correa. I like what Click has done. I think Click's done a good job with this organization. I don't think that he's the best GM in the world. I think you could do better. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The Texans got rid of their executive VP earlier this week. Will there be bigger Texans news this year than the firing of Jack Easterby? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, my man Q sitting right here. He is the biggest leader of the fan club for Vivia, and I'm going to tell you why, because I am too. If you want to get anything off of your property, out of your house, out of your garage, out of your attic, maybe you're doing some remodeling, you thought about the company you were going to go to and the great work they were going to do, you didn't think about who was going to clean up all the excess and the trash and the waste. Well, that's why you go to Vivia, because Vivia is going to be the one that takes care of the stuff that you don't want to, that you don't have to. They bring a dumpster to you, a 10-foot, a 15-foot rollaway dumpster. Fits beautifully in your driveway, doesn't look bad for your HOA, no one's going to be on your rear end, and you're going to be able to have it dropped off and picked up the same day if you like, because you chose to go with Vivia. Vivia is the best in the business, and everybody goes to them because they take care of what you don't want to. The trash, the waste, the nasty stuff. You don't want to get your hands dirty like that. They'll do it for you, and they'll do it better than anybody else. Project managers, too. They do the same thing. They know what we're talking about. How about Texas Custom Patios? With all the work that they do, all the people they interact with, all the jobs they take, they trust Vivia to take away what they don't want, which is all the actual waste and the extras. That's why you should, too. If pros go to them and other people go to them, you know that they can be trusted. Five-star service, same-day delivery and pickup. All you got to do is mention ESPN 97.5 and go to their website, govavia.com. That's govavia.com, govavia.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees live at Wakefield Crowbar, 954 Wakefield Drive. We'll be here till 3. Blanker's going to head over to Minute Maid Park after the game. You were there yesterday. What was the environment like? Because you can't really feel the buzz. You don't know how loud it is if you're watching on the telly. What was it like in the ballpark?
I thought it was electric. I thought it was great. I know that people outside of this market, maybe more so, were critical of, like, when they panned and did a shot that there were some empty seats early, and that's just Houston and trying to get there on time. But then they were also critical about, you know, were they loudest at the biggest moments? I think they were fine. I thought they were great. I thought that when they needed them, you know, they were there for them. I thought that, you know, they were crazy nuts on the home runs and the big plays. They supported JV when he really dug deep into his bag to kind of get out of trouble. I think that was a good vintage Houston playoff crowd. Could they get better and louder? Sure, you always could say that. But I think the Houston crowd showed out, and they were fine.
I loved them after the game yelling at Costas.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, we won Houston, mocking the Yankee fans. If you're looking for a place to watch the Astros later today, Wakefield Crowbar, the spot, $22 Crawford Bock buckets during the game, $1 Jello shots. Belmer's already partaking. 24-foot TV wall in the newly renovated sports bar. They have wall-to-wall TVs, not a bad seat in the house. A great spot for food, great spot for drinks. I had the wings earlier, and my goodness.
Hot pretzel's good.
Was it good?
Very good.
It looked very good. I'm a huge believer, and you can always tell how good a wing is by how much meat's left on the bone. Ain't no meat left on those bones over there. So great spot to come hang out. Happy hour until 6 p.m. As well. Jack Easterby fired, executive VP on Monday. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday in our pre-show production meeting because I said that there's not going to be bigger Texans news all year than Jack Easterby. From a news perspective, from a news angle, the Texans peaked on Monday. Now, they can win football games. They can do all of that stuff. They can surprise. Maybe they get the number one, whatever. I don't think there's going to be bigger Texans news in this season's calendar than what happened on Monday for the Houston Texans.
I don't think you're wrong because I think that the ramifications are felt nationally. I think that you could find the right players on your roster at certain points, draft picks, like you said, win a game here or there that maybe you weren't supposed to win. But the biggest thing nationally, because of how much negativity surrounded the man, his name, all the things he did or didn't do and was involved in from Bill O'Brien all the way through to the coaching search and everything that was, and even finding the general manager, I think that your Adam Schefters of the world and your, you know, and your national guys, your Rappaports and those guys, that's where it really had the biggest impact, is that everybody, because we've had so many people on our show that have said, look, they're the laughingstock of the NFL, and in good part, it's because of this Easterby situation, the SI article, all the different things that were like, what are they doing? Why are they giving this guy all this power? Why does he deserve it? And how the hell is it just because he worked for the Patriots and fudged his resume in Jacksonville that he should be the guy that should be your commander-in-chief? And how does he have the owner's ear on everything and job security to go with it? So I think you're right, because I think that for so many reasons they were the laughing stock because of two words, Jack Easterby. When everybody raised an eyebrow and went, they did what?
Yeah.
He's gone? Wow.
And we even thought that was going to happen at some point. We'll get to that thought in just a moment. Like, we knew at some point Easterby was going to be let go. Like, we heard rumors and all the talk that this was going to be Easterby's final year, all of that. And whenever you say those two words, Jack Easterby, like, once upon a time, those words meant that the dude that's handling the 53. I don't think he'd been handling the 53 for 12 months, and I think that the person Jack Easterby became the symbol, Jack Easterby. That because this organization's been at rock bottom for, you know, a good amount of time, I think that they're a little bit above rock bottom now as opposed to where they were 18 months ago or whatever timeline you want to look at. The symbol of the dysfunction of the Houston Texans was Jack Easterby. And now that you eliminate the black cloud, the symbol that is Jack Easterby, even if he had his power stripped a year ago, the message that sends to the entire fan base is like, oh, okay, the Houston Texans are a competent NFL organization again. Oh, okay, I can be a Houston Texan fan again. We saw text all on Monday about, oh, I put on a Texans hat today. I put on a Texans T-shirt today. Like, even the number one pick is going to be huge. If it's quarterback, it's going to sell tons of merch. It's going to sell tons of jerseys, absolutely. But in terms of, like, the biggest news story for the Houston Texans in this calendar season, it's not going to get any bigger.
With the term.
Yeah.
The symbol.
Yeah.
It's like Prince and the symbol that he was, only in a different way. This is the symbol of everything that went wrong when you and I would have these conversations. And you were right in saying, look, he doesn't seem like he has the same authority and impact that he had previously.
Yep.
And that looked like that it was true. But from a national perspective, he's still there. From a fan perspective of those that jumped off the bandwagon, he's still there. I don't care what he's doing or not doing that he was doing before.
Yep.
he's still employed by this guy and that organization, and I hate that, and I don't want anything to do with
it. And it brought an element of doubt and it raised questions.
You're right.
Guys, there's one reason why it may be the biggest story. There's no arguing that it's a giant story.
Uh-huh. But look at Toppin.
But the fact that he was more of a symbol at this point makes, I think, Lovie Smith, if he were to be fired, a bigger story. And that, you know, one, because we don't necessarily think it's going to happen, but we've talked mm-hmm. about it. It's at least on the table. If they were to fire Lovie Smith, especially if they were continue to move forward with Nick Caseria, you would be talking about, like, unprecedented situations. GMs don't mm-hmm. get to hire three coaches in 3 years. And it would be taking a literal, like, a figurehead who is in front of cameras weekly and getting rid of him. I think that would top it. I really do.
I don't think that would top it.
I don't either.
Because, if you're – like, Lovie Smith isn't the guy that you hired to be guiding this organization and this franchise into the formidable years of, like, getting the Texans back to the playoffs. And then also you can lump it in with Jack Easterby.
That's what I was going to say. Brendan, the big thing you're missing is that even Nick Caserio could say, hey, that wasn't all me. We wouldn't even be down this road where we had to really look bad in the second coaching hire if not for Jack Easterby, because Jack Easterby was the guy that everybody said was the one that brought McCown to the table and believed he was the guy.
I think you guys are listening, and I could be totally wrong. I'm sure the text line's going to light up. I think you're listening to a vocal minority. I don't think that the Easterby has been out of the spotlight for close to a year at this point. Yes, there are a lot of people who are absolutely freaked out the moment his name is mentioned or was previously. Uh-huh. But I don't think that the general population thinks of Easterby as often as they think of Lovie Smith.
No, see, Brendan, you're wrong in the fact that the damage that was done.
Well, then we should have been talking about it more.
Right. But I believe Brendan said, like, Lovie Smith is definitely a mention more. Like, if you just go, like, pull up Twitter, who do you see more? What name do you mention? Like, you see Lovie Smith more. But even, like, that's a volume thing. In terms of, like, the impact and the message that it sends, Easterby being gone eliminates a huge message that was sent to a lot of people. Look, I don't think that Easterby had really much power in this organization at all for the last 12 months, but it still carried a lot of weight, brought up question, brought up doubt, kept the black cloud over this organization. Lovie Smith, quite frankly, and look, I think Lovie Smith's a solid NFL head coach. I think he's pulling from this roster better than a lot of coaches would pull from this roster. Lovie Smith's not moving the needle. They hired him on a Sunday supper so he could kind of ease the storm of what was going on in the entire NFL and the Houston Texans coaching search. And he's also not the future. He's not a 40-year-old coach. He's a guy that we think would be gone in 3 years anyways.
It's the magnitude of how deep the wounds were that he left behind.
Yes.
It's the multitude in terms of how many situations he was specifically called and mentioned as being a part of that have left indelible bad marks on everybody's memories when they think about this franchise, that makes it a deeper, bigger story that means more to anybody that wants to bleed red, white, and blue because of the fact that he has been such a creeper and so, like, having his hands on so many things that turned out so disastrously wrong and such a mm-hmm. bad look for this franchise that I think that's why it's such a big story.
That's well, you talk about the wounds, and I think that's part of why it is, in my opinion, a vocal minority. It is because the people who have been really, like, just had a hard time watching the Texans because of it, like, those people, of course, are going to be screaming from the rooftops when Jack Easterby gets fired. I think those people are the majority. I don't.
I see. I feel like you have a bad pulse of it here. I feel like it is the majority. I feel like a majority of the we've seen that fans have left NRG Stadium in droves.
Yeah, but that's because the team sucks. That's not because of Jack Easterby.
But
no,
why does it suck?
The
in part,
Easterby,
because
though.
A lot of things Easterby had to do with.
People on Monday were saying how attendance is going to spike.
Oh,
how season ticket sales are going to go up.
Are people going to start showing up to games this season because Jack Easterby was fired?
See, maybe not show up to games, but I think that the overall taste in their mouth about the Houston Texans is going to taste better
absolutely.
Than without Easterby. And where, like, the Lovie Smith angle of this conversation obviously matters as well. Like, if the Tech, I'm not calling for Lovie's job. I don't think Lovie should be fired. I think he's doing a fine job,
either.
And he should be back as the Houston Texans head coach. I think there is a good chunk of people, if Lovie Smith was let go, that they would be excited about another coaching search and perhaps fighting, like, this genius coach that could come in. And then also the fact that a head coaching search would happen without the influence of Jack Easterby. Why? The two coaching searches that have happened under Nick Caserio have had what name on it both times? They've had Josh McCown on it both times. A big chunk of this fan base would be looking at the coaching search and be like, you know what? This is the first time that Nick Caserio is going to have total say on what the coaching search looks like.
That's the thing, though. Firing Lovey would have people strongly on both sides. I think you would have everybody invested in Lovey being fired. I think the entire city would have a passionate, or anyone who cares about the Texans, would have a passionate take on Lovey one way or the other. I think there's a portion of the city who didn't care about Easterby.
But people don't hate Lovey.
But they were passionate
people
about it.
Don't hate Lovey. People don't hate the moves that they've made recently. People don't hate where this franchise currently sits because they see the light at the end of the tunnel. They see progress. You know what they hated? They hated Bill O'Brien. They hated everything Bill O'Brien did at the end. They hated the way that Bill O'Brien was a general manager and traded away their best players. They hated all the things where they heard about the manipulativeness of Bill O'Brien. He left. Jack was still there. Bill and Jack were connected for almost everything they did until Jack stabbed him in the back. So that got even more people that said, I'm still not coming back. I still don't like it because I still don't like that guy. Now you get rid of both those guys and everything can clearly be in your past. That's why this is the new beginning that everybody wanted. That's why everybody was so excited to jump back on, because now there's nothing that could, you know, have them jump back on and then have him somehow, some way, find a way to manipulate himself again and do something that pisses you off.
713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Wakefield at Crowbar, 954 Wakefield Drive. We'll be here until 3. Wilhouse will be here until 7. Perfect spot to watch the Astros game tonight. All right, every Thursday at 2 o'clock, it's the worst takes of the week. I think Brendan might find a little bit of real estate at that 2 o'clock segment. Bad Take Boulevard. What are your worst takes of the week? What are the worst ones you've heard of? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to remind you, time is running out. It's ticking, and you need to pay attention. If you love betting on sports, or you've been thinking about betting on sports and making uninteresting games more interesting, but you didn't know where to go and what to do, you got to go to mybookie.ag this week, because this is the final week that they are going to double your initial deposit and give you a bonus. Yep, the last week of it. It's the biggest online selection of odds and contests to fill all your sports betting needs anytime, any place, anywhere. It's mybookie.ag. You can bet on the NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs, soccer, UFC, or you can get into the big cash prizes in the weekly blackjack tournaments. They take care of their customers every step of the way. You want to pay with Bitcoin? They got you. Pay with your credit card? No problem. But pay this week because they're going to double your initial deposit. That means if you put $200 in, you'll have $400 in your account. More money to play with means more chances to win and more games to bet on. All you got to do is use this promo code, BET975. Go to mybookie.ag. Use the promo code BET975, double that next deposit, and figure out how great it is when you have more money to play with in your account. You can take some chances. You can cash in and really roll when you're winning. It's all part of the deal that makes the most uninteresting games more interesting, and it makes it winning season. BET975. Claim your double deposit bonus right now.